Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Henda.
We will not be recording Keith and the Girl tomorrow. Henda is getting a tooth extracted, and I think she's shitting herself. What are you more nervous about? When you were about to have open heart surgery to remove a 5-pound tumor, or tomorrow a tooth extraction at a dentist office?
I think the extraction is more nerve-wracking.
How come?
Because the open heart surgery, what can I do? I'm not going to be there. They're putting anesthesia. Right. If I don't wake up, you guys are going to cry, not me. Like, it's over for me. I did what I need to do. But the dentist, I have to sit there with my mouth open and gas in my nose. But then, you know, that's for everybody. You want me to have that. And then, so my father years ago got a tooth extracted, and he described it to me. And I'm like, well, I'm never going to be the same again. And he's like, you can feel them taking it out from the root. So every time I think about this extraction tomorrow, I'm like, there will come a point where I will be high as fuck because I'm taking a very strong edible, and I insist on them giving me gas, nitrous at the whole time before they even like numb me up anything. And I'm still going to feel something coming out of the roof of my fucking mat. Like, this is disgusting. How are you guys not throwing up as I'm telling you what I'm doing tomorrow?
It's funny
and then
how,
I have to, you know,
scary.
Get better.
It's funny how scary it is compared to all the other stuff you had done. Henda, we are counting on her being back by Monday.
I'm going to cry until then. Uh-huh.
We're going to do our live game show, the game show, keithandthegirl.com/tickets. See what we're talking about. VIPs and 2022 Kickstarter supporters, get a ticket in your inbox. VIPs, you have your code in your dashboard, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. And by the way, with VIP, you get Newsy Chews. What a stupid name. Newsy Chews. I blame him. I blame his parents. I blame the Chews. Newsy Chews show. He goes back in time of a specific day throughout the 18 years we've been podcasting, and we talk about what we talked about. He got COVID, surprise, you know. And so Hollywood Craig Klein filled in, and me and him covered the past years.
Now, first of all, shout out to Craig Klein. Thank you so much. He's such a good partner in that. Mm-hmm. And with you, he so yes ands you and adds to it. I'm like maybe halfway through this episode, and thank you both for doing it. Now, Newsy, or Choosy, sent you guys the little amount of notes that he did for research for the show, but he was on COVID and right. Everything's a little hazy. So we still got, first of all, a song up front from Craig that should win a CATCO for sure. Then we still got an update about Chu's sex life. And he's like, not that much. I had sex like 3 times this week. And right. Yeah, then we got only in the first episode, a review of a fight at Keith's house. Then you and Craig talked about a mushroom trip, and you either had the same hallucination experience or one of you is stealing the story from another and you couldn't figure it out. Then there's you disturbed a neighbor at some point. You guys have crazy stories in your history. You disturbed a neighbor of yours in your history who have both a pit bull and a bat.
Yes.
Did you mean a bat that sleeps upside down or a bat that they hold in threatening?
It wasn't Dr. Doolittle. It was a baseball bat.
Okay. So they came in all disturbed about how you're disturbing it. And while you are on a lot of mushrooms,
yes.
Craig tried to explain like, hey, don't beat me up. I'm just on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Also, then you sort of debated the difference between acid and mushrooms. And I agree with Craig. Acid is so much easier.
It's so much lighter. Because nothing can be tougher than these mushrooms.
Also, you know what? Every time you talk about mushrooms, I want to be like, hey, why don't you tell everybody you were drinking a 40 first and then had mushrooms? Because I do think that's a different experience.
I think the mushrooms still need the credit they deserve.
I get it, but you have never been on mushrooms and not been drunk, right? Okay, we'll get to that. And then I just got to the part where Craig got raided by the police in his, I believe, Manhattan apartment. You guys are sick, and thank you for doing the show. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a VIP member, people listening, I mean this show alone, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Get it for free on us. Use code FREETRIAL. And here's the thing. Get it for this show, but while you're there, pick up your VIP tickets to this Monday's show. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get that. It's all at keithandthegirl.com/VIP. So if you are a VIP member, or if you want to be a VIP member, the ticket will be at keithandthegirl.com/VIP.
Today's guest, new to the Keith and the Girl universe, Hemda just saw him at Comedians You Should Know in Brooklyn. Liam Nelson. Hey. Hello, Liam.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you, Liam. We were doing a little setup behind the scenes, just filling in that, not to call you out, but filling the audience in on why they were waiting. And you didn't have, you were in a car, you were thinking you can do it from your phone. You didn't have headphones, and you don't have personal headphones, is what you said. Is this correct?
I do, but the microphone is broken on them, so they don't work for the purposes that we need them for. So they're me, not for you, you know?
I'm not saying you're a liar. You don't have headphones. You have headphone. Am I right?
Yes. I have one AirPod because one of them fell out of my ear while I was getting out of an elevator and fell down an elevator shaft. So now I'm vulnerable on the subway. You know how, like, if you have two AirPods and no one talks to you?
Yeah.
You have one, they're like, that's an invitation for me to tell him all about whatever I'm thinking about. So,
hello, I don't want to seem like an elitist. How long have you been living life like this? Where you have to talk to people sometimes.
A while.
This is horrible.
No, it's tough out here because, you know, in New York, we get all of our mail stolen. So we just don't get things delivered anymore. And I, at one point, did get my earbud replaced and they mailed it to me, but someone stole that one earbud, which, I don't know, feels kind of like a terror. Let me give you the list of things that they've stolen from me that I feel like they can't use. One AirPod that's not able to be charged. Three different canes.
I had a walking canes.
Three canes stolen. I'm like, by the third cane, I feel like you should feel bad for stealing from me. You know, like I've kept this man off his feet for months now.
Well, they open up like the third time they steal your cane. They're like, no, please let this one be an umbrella. God damn it.
But what are they hoping for in the cane shaped box that they've stolen twice before? You know,
you use a cane. You're 7 feet tall. Hemda saw you perform and you went on stage. And first thing you just go, 7 feet, everybody.
Yeah. Right. I'll shut the fuck up about it.
No, right.
I open every set.
You talk about having Marfan syndrome. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, you were correct. Okay. Marfan syndrome, I've been diagnosed since I was 11 years old. So it's a connective tissue disorder. Basically affects the entire way your body is built. Or like I say, it makes you built like an off-brand AirPod. Like, we look pretty cool, but don't shake us. We're loose inside.
From your eyes to your heart to your head, everything.
Lungs to everything. Like, connective tissue holds your whole body together. So it's just
But let me ask you this. A tooth extraction. Scary, right?
Tooth extraction. For sure. I would say that's pretty scary. Although, I do remember going through high school, I had like 4 major surgeries before I was like 17 when I got my wisdom teeth out. So all my friends were getting their wisdom teeth out and they're like, oh, I was on the pain meds for like 2 weeks afterwards. And I never started taking them. I was the kid who like pulled myself off my morphine like 2 days after a chest surgery. So I'd been through so much stuff already that I was like, oh, this is easy mode.
Somebody complains you're putting your hip back in.
Exactly. Like, oh yeah, sorry, let me just relocate my shoulder. Sorry.
Are you tough to be around? Because I can't complain.
I'm insufferable.
You have a girlfriend, right?
I do, yeah.
And she's normal height, correct?
I mean, yeah, she's 5'8". I mean, I'd say I'm normal height and you're all just short.
Right. So. Is it offensive to the Marfan community that you're dating a normie?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They love her. I was at Marfan conference a few days ago, and they all love her just as much as they love me, I think, at this point. Like, I'm more well-known in the community. She might be more beloved at this point.
Okay. So. How did they get their name? Was it like Johnny Marfan? The good news is we're going to name it after you.
Antoine Marfan is a doctor, a French doctor who discovered it.
Okay. He didn't have it. He just discovered it.
Yeah, right. I kind of wish it had been a guy like Lou Gehrig or someone with the name matters. But yeah, the doctor can get it, I guess.
When the Marfan community, before you settled down on a civilian, is there mad banging in it? Like, hey, we can all 69 finally.
I mean, I started going to the Marfan conference every year and I was in the teen program. So there's definitely some like, yeah, when you're nice. Used to everyone thinking you look weird and then all of a sudden you're at a conference full of people who also look weird in a kind of similar way.
Right.
The confidence levels is higher just overall, you know?
At the conference, are you finally looking people in their eye? Because Keith is 6'2", and he right. talks about it like every once in a while, he has to look up to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes how tall he is. Have you ever had to look up to someone? And is it only at these conferences?
Yeah, I mean, so I...
Is that why you go to basketball games? Just to look up for a while?
There's one kid who's 17 who I met this year. I met a couple years ago at a conference who was all like pretty tall, but he just passed me this year. So he's 17, 7'2". And so he's someone I look up to. There's another guy, Dave, who has been coming for years, who I look up to, but I was still one of the tallest or like one of the two tallest at conference every year. I grew up going to the same movie theater as Dikembe Mutombo. So okay. that was kind of just a weird coincidence where I would just see him every so often and be like, oh, where do you get your pants? He's like, the internet. And I'm like, cool. All right. Thanks for the help.
Is that what tall people talk about? Like as an icebreaker? Where do you get your pants?
Yeah. I mean, where do you get your pants? How many times have you been asked today whether or not you play basketball? But that's not for Dikembe Mutombo because everyone knows that he sure. does. But,
well, I'm like Kenda said, I'm 6'2", and the world is yeah. not made for me. I have to duck trees. I can't imagine the hell of being 7 feet tall would have to be. I bang my yeah. head constantly, as is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing that Keith has a brain left. One time mm-hmm. he was taping his special and he was fake walking off the stage, but basically he was still on the stage and hit his head on the speaker. Classic. And then you just have to like continue going.
And I don't edit my stand up. So you see this Gorbachev birthmark on my forehead getting bigger and bigger and redder as the show goes on.
Oh man, that's wild.
So 7 feet tall. I have to be airplanes, desks.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a joke about it on stage where I said, like, sometimes I feel like a mythical creature because whoever built literally everything didn't think I existed.
You know? Yeah.
Like I was not a factor in their mind when designing everything.
You've got to be too tall for some roller coasters.
Yeah, too tall for some roller coasters. That is a scary one because I went to like Universal and I was waiting in line for like the Harry Potter bank ride and I had like gotten on the ride. And then one of the teenagers running the ride came over to me and was like, hey, you got to get off. You're too big. And I was like, why did I get to the point where I am on the ride before right. you know, like, oh, no, you'll get decapitated. Don't you can't go on this one. Like that right. should be 3 or 4 big signs that say, like, if you're tall, don't go on this ride.
The pothead teenager shouldn't be the final check.
Exactly. Yeah. I shouldn't be relying on that. It's like, yeah, sure, my family would get a bunch of money from Universal. But, like, I don't want to die just to make that happen.
Did you look at the ride, like, give it a closer look afterwards after you were kicked off and be like, oh, yeah, right there. I would have died there.
I did think back. I'm like, you know, people do put their arms up, so I feel like I would have been okay. But if I had put my arms up, I think would have been where the problem was.
You know? I see.
So I'm like, my policy is like just try to stay lower than the other people's arms.
Bad Beef is saying he would have gotten the Harry Potter scar.
There you go. All right. Oh well,
and then some.
Yeah, I would have taken a little off the top probably.
So people with Marfan, they often, like, so you might not get the tall disease, but you'll probably have the heart problems, right?
Yeah, it manifests itself differently in everybody, so it just depends on how your genetics are kind of going to go anyway.
Do you have pig heart parts?
I don't. I had a chest surgery that was like a chest reconstruction, but at some point I'll probably have to get my aortic valve replaced, which would be getting a pig heart valve.
Okay. You know what? Looking back, I think I had a roommate in my hometown in Pennsylvania that had Marfan's. He yeah. had those skinny fingers. He's able to, like, you know, put his thumb backwards. Yeah. So the yeah. oh my God!
No, stop it!
It's like Mr. remember that Mr. Armstrong? It's like that doll that he could
stretch Armstrong. Yeah,
stretch Armstrong.
I have a joke about that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Hypermobility is what that specific thing is called. So I talk about like going into a doctor's office and they tell you have a genetic mutation that causes you to have hypermobility, yeah, which, you know, to an 11-year-old sounds like I'm going to be the Flash now.
Yeah, I'm an X-Men. So I was, so this friend of mine, Matt, he could do that stuff with his fingers. He also had, I don't know if it's, is it concave? He has a, his yeah. chest goes into itself. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
There you go. Hey, learning new things about your former roommate.
Should I call him and go, hey, you're still like, alive? Hey. When, no, at what age, at what age do you read, hey, it looks like I'm only supposed to live for 30 years. You didn't update your website.
I was 11 when I read that. Wow. And so it really sent me down a dark spiral. I was like super depressed for a few years. And then that's coming to my first conference when I was 14 is what pulled me out of that. Cause I got to literally see hundreds of other people at various ages, like people in their 70s, 80s with Marfan syndrome. Mm. So it's like you prove to yourself that that's possible. Cause you know, your doctor can tell you that you're going to be fine all you want, but sure. like that's the doctor's job is to make you feel like you're not dying, you know?
Yeah, you just have to see me every day, but you're not dying.
Do you, how old are you now?
I'm 23.
Hmm. 23?
Oh, and I mean, you probably heard at the show, I have a joke where I have people guess my age, and I get a lot of like 45s to 50s lately.
It's so it's rude. Been, it was so been, rude. Been and real. We were in a room full of younger people. Like mm-hmm. I'm 47 and I was actually saying this on the show the other day. A lot of people were maybe in their early 30s going up on stage and they were like, oh, everyone in this room is so young. Are you all in your 20s? And basically everybody was in your 20s and they didn't even check if anyone was over 40 because they just assumed 30s was the oldest you could be there. But then he gets on stage and they're like, oh, you're like 92. I don't know.
Is it worth it? Is it worth the punchline? Just being told you look old?
Oh, it's for sure worth the punchline. Okay. The joke crushes, but it is deeply damaging to my own ego sometimes. Like I was in Chicago doing like 30 shows and I guarantee you, at least 25 of those shows, someone said 45 and up and wouldn't go lower than that. Like they were all like 47, 48, 49. Right. Like they just, it's not an auction.
Put down. So you were diagnosed at how old?
11.
So you're like 5 feet tall in kindergarten. Nobody knows what's up.
Yeah, exactly. I was 5 foot by kindergarten. Wow. And it's very weird. People treat you kind of weird your whole life. People don't know how to interact with you because there's this thing about like tall equals old in people's mind. So like they were holding me to the standard of like a, you know, fifth grader when I was
that's a tough one because you're probably next to your adult, you know, whether that's a mother or whatever, all the time talking like a little child at 5 feet tall, but like, where's my butt?
Exactly. It's like, why is your 9 year old acting like a baby? It's like, no, she's two. Like, down,
but then, right? But then you put your arms up, pick me up, and your parents are like, no.
So 20,
you pick me up,
right? Well, 23, legally, you can drink now. First of all, do you?
I can.
Okay. So. So when you're in bars and stuff, I have to imagine people wanting to jump and touch the top of your head for fun. It is obviously more and more. Is this?
I have, New York, especially. I moved to New York in September. So like I have a whole nemesis now. This guy who is like this very mentally ill man that I met walking up the stairs from like the subway. First interaction tried to push me back down the stairs because I was like walking behind him and it freaked him out. He was like, get the fuck off me, Captain Cracker.
You were the one on that plane. And the woman's like, he's not real. That was you. Interesting.
Yeah, that was probably me. Now this guy, every time he sees me, he runs up behind me and tries to knock the hat off of my head. He's done it four times. He's successfully knocked my hat off four different times.
That's not what he's taken back the power because he's not scared anymore. Because I don't do that to demons, you know. I kind of leave him alone.
I think it was like he's like he has to foil me now. Right. Like, I'm his like his ultimate nemesis.
Do men feel less manly around you so they challenge you one way or another?
Yes, a lot of very sensitive men trying to fight me, and I've just gotten very good at being like, no, I'm a little pussy. Please don't hit me. I will die. All right, please.
I look like I should play basketball. I literally will die if I play sports. Yeah, and then they're like, all right, I knew I'd kick your ass.
Yeah, so you win. Oh wow, look at your boyfriend. He's so big and strong, right? Tell him he's so big and strong so he doesn't hit me.
Damn. And I imagine there's a lot of talking around you as if you're deaf. Right. Yeah. Because I experienced being near you for literally 1 minute as you and I were ordering a drink. You didn't know because I didn't know you were going on stage that day, and we just both happened to be at the bar. And the reason why I know is, first of all, you stand out. I saw you coming into the venue, of course, right? But now I'm talking to a comic that was on the lineup that I know, and the comic goes, "Holy shit, this guy's so tall." And I'm like, "Dude, do you think you're invisible right now?" Like, and I'm like, "Oh my God, I get that, you know, comedians are observant," and I'm like, we got it. Like, I'm not going to say where, because clearly, you know, so I imagine that's happening all the time.
Do people think your head's in another atmosphere and so we can talk on below the ozone layer?
I guess. And here's the thing. I have bad hearing, except for when people are talking about me.
Sure.
I can hear it from a mile away. Like, my favorite thing is I'll hang out with the person for the first time and we'll go out to like a bar or something together, and we'll walk in and I'll prep them before we walk in and be like, "Hey, this is about to be like kind of an intense experience of like everyone in a bar all looking at us all at once. Like, just be ready for it." And they always are like, "Oh yeah, sure. We walk in, everyone's head snaps to us, and then they all proceed to, like, you can see that every conversation in the bar is now about me and my presence there and how tall I am. So I could just walk over to any group, and I do it sometimes just to, because it's, you know, when you have that much, like, when people are already talking about you, it's fun to just go over and lean in and be like, "Yeah, I know, right? That's crazy how tall that guy is."
You might have heard about me from your friend on your left and your friend on your right.
Like, "Oh, it's crazy how I can notice you all pointing at me. That's I got eyes too. It's nuts."
What's their response to that?
Oh, they kind of freak out and get embarrassed. Like, I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, I'm here. Like, I'm in the same room as you. I'm not on TV. Like, what's happening?"
But I imagine you're 23 now. 23-year-olds are not usually that evolved, but you had to start really early and get a sense of humor about it or cry for the rest of your life, right?
For sure. Yeah. I could be the most angry man in the world, but I choose not to be.
Were you angry for a while? Did you have to go through anger to find this sort of peace about it?
I mean, I still get like insecure in certain scenarios. That's why, like, you know, drinking is always a good thing. You know, and the liquid courage sometimes is good, because sometimes you're just not ready for the amount of social interaction you have to tackle.
You're very skinny. What? But just by being 7 feet tall, how much do you weigh? All those bones add up.
Like 180, 190.
Oh, really? Okay.
Where I'm at, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like light, but not.
Right.
Crazy light.
You know what's funny? No one would ever ask me how much I weigh on the show, but I bet you get asked how much you weigh all the time. So you have to keep current with all your stats to have conversations.
Carnival guessers love me. they love the practice.
Well, you also, your mom was into carnival type shit, right? Like a circus things.
She's a event designer, she calls it an experience designer. So like circus type events. So like Cirque du Soleil, but for private and corporate kind of stuff. So I was her media director shooting events for years, even when I was like 14. Working with her.
Would you cover up your legs somehow and act like you were the stilts guy?
So I used to film the stilts guy, and I would stand next to the stilts guy, and then everyone would come over and be like, "Hey, can I also get a picture with you?" And I'm like, "He's on stilts right now in a costume. I'm in all black with a headset on. I clearly am not part of this." But then people would just come over and ask the stilts guy to take a photo with me. No. So he'd say, "Hey, can you take this for us while I take a picture?"
Because then you could have a better picture. Because
I guess. I think they just wanted a photo with me, and they just wanted whoever looked like they worked there to take it. And it was the guy in the tree suit on stilts. So,
had you considered making money off of this? Or is that too much?
I've done like t-shirts before where like I'll have like, you know, $1 to ask me how tall I am kind of thing for like charity fundraisers. But
say it again. $1 what? Sorry.
Ask me how tall I am.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My current version of it is I have a sign whenever I'm barking for shows. It's like, ask me how tall I am, or buy a ticket to my show. I'll tell you how tall I am. And I'll like hold that up on the side of the road. And it works pretty well. Like, if you're in a high traffic, you know, suburban area, you can get 20, 30 tickets sold in a couple hours. Off that incentive.
Nice. When you're nice, all worth it. When you're, I wish, when you're a kid and you learn like, "Hey, I might die soon. Let me prioritize what's important." I can't imagine what can even be important other than not homework.
yeah, movies were a big one for me for a while.
Were you doing bad in school and your parents are like, just let it go because we get it?
I mean, yeah, my parents, they tried to like hold me accountable because they knew that I was going to like have a longer life than I was thinking I was going to. But it was definitely like, they weren't pushing too hard on it. Like they definitely still let me prioritize the things that I clearly like loved and was putting a lot of time and energy into, which was making movies with my friends.
Okay.
And so that helped like kind of keep me just doing stuff that made me happy instead of whatever I had to do.
But don't you think that's how parents should treat children anyway? Like, yeah. Oh, you know what? You might die. So why don't you just be you?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, then I'm going to die too. Can I be me? No, you're going to live. What? Then I have to not be me if I'm going to live. Like that's so counterproductive. Yeah.
I have some pretty complex opinions on education and how it's done, but it's like, yeah, I personally don't think I benefited from like the school system. I mean, I did everything in spite of the schooling that I got, which was like, I was in good schools.
Hmm. Ryan's asking how many of your classmates tried to get you to buy them cigarettes in school.
It's funny. I mean, I was always the guy who bought the beer for parties. Even when I wasn't invited to the parties, they would
just leave it. Hey, thanks for coming by.
They would like to drive me to the store, send me inside. I'd come out with the beer, put it in their trunk, and then they'd drive me back, drop me back off at my car, and I'd go home.
Oh,
and they'd give me like $10. But, you know, it was like upperclassmen. Like, I was like a freshman, and seniors were like, hey, can you buy us beer?
That's funny.
Because I had like a fake ID because I did like event shooting at like nightclubs and stuff. So I had to just like pretend to be an adult to work, which is the most boring reason to have a fake ID.
You're from Georgia?
Yeah, Atlanta.
And you happen to be there now?
Yeah.
But fairly recently you moved to New York, right?
Yes, in September.
Is New York easier to live that New Yorkers in general don't care about anything? You could be a celebrity. You could be a unhoused gentleman shitting in a Gatorade bottle. It doesn't disturb us too much. Is it easier here?
I think to an extent. I think, yeah, certain places are easier. Times Square is kind of when the tourists really are the worst about it. Like the people I live with, you know, I live in a Dominican neighborhood, so everyone calls me Big Poppy. Like it's like more casual acknowledgement of my height. Versus like the tourists are much more like, oh, let's stop. You know, an entire Chinese tour group will be like, can we have a photo with you? We're tourists, like kind of energy, you know? So it's like, it's mostly, I think,
tourists.
Yeah. Well,
the Chinese are so gangster about their tourist pictures. Listen, if you're Chinese and listening, tell me I'm wrong, but my brother is married to like the whitest woman. So he made like some pretty white kids. And if there's Chinese people with cameras around them, they've gone to like touch the kids, you know? And my brother had to be like, look, they're following them around like they're paparazzi, the little kids, because they're blown away by their blondish hair and light features and things like that. So they're following them around and the kids are not really paying so much attention, but my brother is following them around as a father and allowing it to happen because he understands that they look different to them. But then they get brazen. They start putting their hands on the kids and on the hair and like wanting to feel the texture and stuff. And he's like, all right, I'm shutting it down. Everybody leave.
Well, they were wearing masks before it was cool. And if you're wearing a mask, you might as well have a little fun in life, you know?
Right. No, it's crazy. I mean, I've been in several postcards that have been sent to me. Like I gave one group my email and I got a postcard that was like from our trip to America.
From Asian strangers.
These people who took a photo of me in Times Square, and I open it up and there's one picture on the postcard and it's me and this whole family. Like, I'm the only photo they took in New York City. Like, the only thing worth writing home about. And then on the back, it's like them in the same pose with the Washington Monument from D.C.
So right.
It's like
you're the same height.
I'm the New York equivalent of the Washington Monument, I guess.
Where's the Marfan conference this year?
It was in Chicago a few days ago.
Okay. How'd it go?
It was great. I got to perform for the first time, got an award. So that was cool.
Okay.
That
was,
yeah.
Do you have to perform against other people?
No, it's just, I was the only comedian. It's like a bunch of the staff talks about the progress of the organization and they have me come up and do like 6 minutes of Marfan specific material. And just, I mean, the easiest audience you can ever perform in front of.
Sure.
just a bunch of people who understand exactly what you're talking about.
Is there new technology? Are we excited about anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of. It's not as much like saving life as much right now as it is expanding quality of life. So like a lot of things, like certain back braces and certain genetic treatments for like having kids, because it's like a 50-50 shot of us passing it down to our kids. So there's a lot of technology around gene therapy, being able to not have your kid have Marfan syndrome, even if both parents or one parent has it.
Did either of your parents have it?
No, I'm a spontaneous mutation.
Oh, so. How lucky. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, right? won the genetic lottery.
When people would see my x-rays and they're like, oh, this is one in 1.5 million that you would get this. And I'm like, yay, me. Perfect. I remember I got pregnant on birth control, and I was getting an abortion, and they were like, whoa, you should play the lotto if you got these odds getting pregnant. I'm like, you are putting an IV in me. Crying right now. Yeah, you're telling me to play the lotto.
I don't think you're going to play the lotto. I think you might get struck by lightning on the way out of the building. That feels more.
Or this is the lottery and she already won it.
Right, yeah. Right.
How many times is she going to win it?
This is my 1 in a million. Thank you, everybody.
At a Marfan convention, I'm assuming, you see Johnny didn't show up all of a sudden. It's either rude or he's dead, right? You have to miss people year by year.
No, I mean, it's tough. That's like my least favorite part, I guess, about being
the a death, part of the
community.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's because like you're with each other in this community for the reason of the genetic disorder. So inherently, like, it's harder for everyone. And that's why you understand each other so much. But also, sometimes people have a harder go of it and things happen. And so, yeah, like, you'll lose someone year to year. And it's always tough, because then it's like every year there's like a little bit of like, all right, we have to like remember whoever we lost last year before we can kind of get back into like seeing each other again this year, you know?
I
imagine that a lot of support groups are, you know, first of all, shout out to support groups. They are the actual fucking best. You got to talk to people who are going through something very specific. Think it changes your whole life, obviously, you know. But I don't know what my point was, because I got all excited about.
I go to 10 different self-helps a week. I'm like the dude in Fight Club in the beginning. It's very exciting stuff. It's very exciting stuff. The taking genes away, is this controversial in the Marfan community?
Yeah, it's definitely something that's like, you know, we're not trying to fix Marfan syndrome necessarily, because that's very eugenics kind of language. But it's also, you know, it's the difference between wanting to reject this part of yourself versus have your kid deal with a life full of hardship because you don't want to feel like you're rejecting a part of yourself. You know, it's like it's a complex, like, philosophical issue. I think I personally would be open to it, just because, like, I am not as attached to the idea of, like, I don't know, just like, I think if you are intervening in that way and that way alone, and you're not choosing, it's like hair color and stuff, you know, it's not, I don't think it's designing a kid. It's just removing one guaranteed hardship.
But while you're there, you might as well make the eyes green.
I mean, you know,
you're there anyway,
you know, just do it.
Well, I just move a couple
of things around.
I see that, obviously, you know, it's different than choosing a hair color, but I think ultimately it becomes the same, because people can argue this person will have a better life because of A, B, and C, because that's their perspective. Right. One is a little bit easier to pass.
If nobody's stealing all my canes, one is probably a little easier. That's all. We can say that. And by the way, I've seen the DNA strands. Take out the reds. I'm telling you right now. Those aren't good. The red ones.
Yeah. Here first.
Yeah. What's the biggest surgery you had to go through?
The chest reconstruction. So pectus repair, you were talking about your roommate had the concave chest.
Yeah.
So mine was so far in that it was like pressing on my lungs and organs. So they had to fully like take out all the cartilage, take two of my ribs out, rewire me in like extreme home makeover chest edition, my whole chest. So
And here's the kicker too. It's not even the Marilyn Manson ribs.
Right. Exactly. I found that out. They weren't supposed to take out the ribs. They told me afterwards. That they just had to take out ribs, because apparently they can do that without asking you first.
Right?
but yeah, it wasn't even the Marilyn Manson one. Yeah, I did try.
Isn't it so amazing that they can go inside your body, zhuzh things around, and then you wake up and keep going?
The guy kept trying to show me a video of it, and I was like, I absolutely do not.
You turned it down? I'm so upset with you right now.
Me? I, that's, I'm, horrific. I don't need to see. He's like a dad who just built a deck for the first time. He had never done this one before, so he wanted to like show me pictures of it. He's like, ah, not too shabby, huh? I'm like, it's my chest. Like, don't.
I requested my open heart surgery be videotaped and pass it to me. And the looks on my doctor's face, they were so horrified. I'm like, I'm not going to, not for seeing what I can sue you about. Like, don't worry. I just want to, somebody's ripping you open and then going, done. Go ahead. All right. Well, I think that's the poll today. Would you watch a video of like open heart surgery, major surgery?
On yourself.
On yourself. Yeah. On yourself.
Because that's the part of it. Like, I could watch it on someone else, but, like, if I watched it on myself, I don't think I could ever exist in this world the same way again. I'd just be hovering 3 inches off the ground.
I don't think I can watch other people doing it because I don't see what the point is, but I just find it so interesting to see myself in that position. Keith, would you watch yourself?
Seeing yourself dead.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, I'd probably have to scrub through it. You know, it's probably hours and it'd get very boring.
Right.
They probably stand in the way also.
I'd want to see the slicing open. Mm-hmm. I'd want to see the prying open. Come on. That's so interesting.
I don't want to hear what they say behind my back. Like, oh, we got a bigger one here. You know, I don't know.
This guy's ribs are gross.
I had 2 ribs added to me. So I'd stop blowing myself. Nice. Yeah.
Are you who took my ribs?
Did you ask to take them home? Paperweights?
I did. They said I would have to pay to bronze them in order to take them out, which seems like a racket at the hospital.
It's my shit. Yeah, we'll shine them up. I'll take them dirty.
Big bronze is really in deep at the hospitals. They don't let you take your own parts if you don't bronze them first. It's like Lance Armstrong with his testicle.
Did you ask how much?
I think it was like crazy. A lot. Like,
maybe insurance covers it.
I doubt that. Doubt that insurance covers body trophies.
I asked for my tumor if I could take it home. They're like, no, we're going to be studying this for a while. I'm like, all right, that's a good alternative.
Yeah.
They don't want you to swallow it by accident. God forbid something happens.
But imagine a jar with a tumor in it. Hi, welcome to my house. What?
This is what almost killed me. Amazing. Next to it, you have like a dead bear that you also killed that almost took you out.
Is this true that your mom, as you were growing up, didn't want to know how your health was? Like, leave me out of it. You're fine, right? You're fine. The end. Was it that simple?
Yeah, to an extent. It was like, I mean, she came with me to some early, like, she took me to some doctor's appointments, but she didn't engage with, like, the Marfan community like a lot of other parents do, just because, yeah, it's tough for her to, like, see me in a, like, disabled or like as like someone with something wrong with them, because like the guilt, I think part of it is it's genetic, so it's like part of it did come from the fact that my parents, their genes did what they did, you know.
Did you
and
ask
were they,
them
were they still together, because it's like, and we're not together, ugh.
No, they're still together.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, it's a process. It's a hard thing for people to deal with, so it just depends on everyone copes with it differently.
Did you say, hey, it's not in either of your genes, at least tell me how you fucked? Like, give me a clue. What was the position? Did you ask that?
Yeah, for science.
Yeah, I got to report back to the community. Was it, doggy style, wasn't it?
It's on me to ask them.
Right.
I can't pass that responsibility off to anyone else who's not their child.
Working with your mom, you know, magic face painting, this kind of thing is what I'm picturing. Yeah. Did you do big head costumes?
So she was more on like the Cirque du Soleil side of things, okay. But I did work with like more big head costume type of people for, I was a Chewbacca for years. So okay. Like professional Chewbacca at parties, kids parties, frat parties, very similar events, just the same kind of vibe. You know, you're just wandering around, people trying to touch you, sticky fingers everywhere.
Do you meet basketball players or the guy that played the real Chewbacca?
I met Peter Mayhew. I was working on a documentary about people with Marfan syndrome for a few years.
And that's how he died, right?
No. So no? Fun little, so there's a big
Darth Vader
that he had. It was Peter Mayhew that they thought they had Marfan syndrome. I went online that it all confirmed it. There's this like big rumor. I flew to Texas to interview him for my documentary about Marfan syndrome. I sat down with him, first interview question, like, so what's it like been like living with Marfan syndrome? And he's like, I don't have Marfan syndrome. And I was so frazzled that I just picked up my camera and left.
Oh, wow.
Like,
oh,
well, flew to Texas for nothing. So thank you. Nice to meet you. Bye. And then he died like 3 months later. So now every time someone's like, oh, he had Marfan syndrome in like the community, someone who I told that that he doesn't and that he told me he doesn't will like tag me and be like, nope, Liam's here to ruin your dreams. Like,
is it going to make the documentary? Because I would have to put it in there. Whether probably, it's during
after the credits, I don't have it. Just tall people saying they don't have it.
Yeah.
No, I definitely would include the little moment that we had. But yeah, the whole thing is going to be, I'm still not even sure what the final thing's going to end up looking like. Just because it's like, oh yeah, just take all the stories of the people who like inspired you to live the rest of your life and make it into an hour and a half long thing that makes sense. Like, okay.
I feel like Liam looks like my brother Mark, and Mark is 6'5". Does he have it?
Huh.
It's contagious. He caught it just now by me being on this show.
Could have been.
Oh my God, he does look like your brother.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at it. You guys again look alike. Does every white person look alike that comes on here? This is crazy.
We're all very close genetically, I guess.
There are really just like five different faces. That's it.
I picture everybody over 6'2 has Marfan syndrome.
I mean, I'd rather diagnose everyone and rule people out than not have anyone be diagnosed and act like they don't, you know?
Is the Marfan community very fun because you could joke about sick things like death? Like, I go to AA and we all love the sick stories.
For sure. Yeah, no, we joke about some, I mean, I remember a friend of mine was sitting in my living room and was like, yeah, you know, it's crazy how like one day we're just going to be a pile of like metal pieces on a table when we get cremated. I'm like, dang, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. How much metal is inside you after your surgeries?
I have like screws and stuff in my knees, plates in my knees, a bunch of wires in my chest. So like I do look like a bomb when going through x-rays, which is fun. So it's like a walking bomb. So yeah, it's mostly chest stuff right now, but it'll be more if I ever have to get like a spine surgery, cause that's when you get like the big ass rod in your back and like they just screw straight into you so you can't bend down.
Do you swim? And do people jump up at the, metal detector with their little wand? How do they get your whole body?
No, they just send me through the machine and then they just trust that I'm not carrying bombs from like nipple up. Right. You know? they just believe me.
Right.
I look friendly enough to where they're like, it'd be weighing on him. He'd be like leaning a certain way if he had anything heavy from nipple up, you know?
Right. Are you good at swimming?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got, you know, naturally built for it, I guess. Michael Phelps is like a person that a lot of people think has Marfan syndrome who doesn't, because you couldn't be an Olympic swimmer if you had it. But
because your heart can't take it.
Exactly. Okay. Just like you can't train like that, like you would need to. But he and I are built very similarly. So I get all the benefits without having to actually be a swimmer.
Sure. You just buy the gold medals at a store.
I'm very aerodynamic.
Well, as soon as you get parallel, you're at both edges of the pool, so it's pretty actually much. Not fair. Yeah.
Turns around, then turns around, done.
I'm going to do Marfan camp next year. I run a camp. I've been running a camp since I was like 18 for kids with Marfan syndrome with the foundation that I work with. And so we do a lot of like swim races, and I still win them all the time because that's just the pool's super short, so I'll just be there in like two like strokes.
You just push off, and it catapults you into the next. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Still fun.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I have bad knees. Are you in pain all the time?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Back, shoulders, is kind of the main thing. And I'm 23 also. So it's like, I talk about it, it's like, I'm 23, but I got the body of like a 72-year-old sometimes. Like my hip will go out when I'm getting off the subway sometimes. And I just have to like, like sit, or like I'm at the grocery store. I have something called POTS, post orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, where I can get just like super dizzy if I get dehydrated at all. So I'll just be at the grocery store and I have to just like lay down on the floor. Just real.
So you're on the entire aisle.
And people are terrified. They're like, who is this giant man? And why is he laying on the floor doing snow angels? Like, what's happening?
Are there subsets in the Marfan community, and do they do they look down at each other? Is it like, oh, you don't get the hard thing, you don't get the tall thing?
Not Marfan specifically. So Marfan is like one connective tissue disorder. And now the foundation that I work with represents like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and Loisdietz syndrome as well, which are all kind of similar disorders that present slightly differently. So that's where you get some of the, like this year at the conference was the first year they had like a different mixer for each condition. And all the different conditions were like trying to get cooler and cooler, like spin to win prizes.
Okay.
To be like the coolest, like, disorder mixer. So, you know, but really we're all one big community because we all understand like a lot of the same things. It's just like certain, like slight tweaks on what specific thing is the most present. So like we all have the same base things. Just some people like the hypermobility is the big thing where their knees are going out of joint constantly. Some people like vascular EDS is all about the heart thing. Marfan syndrome has more of like the physical stature features. Loisdietz has like a very specific kind of look to it. So it's
It's like going back to the comparison that Keith was making. It's a bunch of addicts, but this one's addicted to alcohol. This one's narcotics. This one is
exactly. Yeah. Just like a different, a slightly different experience, but the reason we're there is all kind of the same at its core.
Is sex painful? I mean, I could fuck on a bed of nails. You just don't pay attention to the leg cramps and
not
shit.
Not in the moment, but afterwards. You know, if like if you're getting, if you're having a good time and then, you know, you get carried away with the endorphins and then afterwards you like bite off more than your body can chew, you know?
Right. You're putting your body back together after sex.
Click, clack, exactly. Click. Or just having to like lay down for the rest of the day and be like, well, that's all I had in me for today. But
worth it.
Right.
Usually,
Are there exercises that you're supposed to be doing, and do you do them?
I need to get better at it. I was in physical therapy for a while, and then I moved to New York, and that kind of got mixed up. And I don't have a new physical therapist up in New York that's like permanent yet. But I'm getting back into it. I do some stretches, but I definitely need to get better on my routine of like stretching and that kind of stuff more.
Is it yoga related, the stretching?
Yoga, just like for hip mobility, for just like trying to keep my stuff from going out of joint and like being tight in weird ways as much as possible.
I knew tall people can do yoga. Fuck you guys.
We can. It's just like it's a lot harder to start, I think. So, and also with me in particular, like I just have a lot more pain. So a lot of times when I'm doing something the right way, it still kind of hurts in a way that feels like the wrong way. So it's like just needing someone to help kind of guide me through that process.
It's funny, you're a filmmaker and a comedian, that you picked the arts, because if you picked any other regular job, you'd be ahead just by looking older. You know, the more wrinkles on your face, for example, you know, people are like, okay, I guess that counts as 2 college degrees, you know. And you go, no, I don't want that little advantage in life.
I love to sample like corporate jobs. So whenever I do video work, I work with this like fashion company sometimes where I'll go in and just do like a 9-to-5 with them. And it's so fun to just be like the office funny guy for a day, you know, and not be surrounded by other comedians who are all super funny and like have 1,000 funny things to say. These people who just sit in a warehouse all day and think I'm the coolest person to set foot on the earth. Corporate world is not for me, unfortunately.
Do you ever accidentally drop something on the floor and you're like, oh, I guess that's there forever?
It's almost
like a walk-up apartment. If you left your house, but you forgot the mail up in the, you're like, well, that mail doesn't go out today.
Right. Yeah. My back sometimes will be like, all right, I'm done for today. So anything on the floor, you got to just make friends and get them to pick it up for you.
Do you have one of those those manual claw machines?
No, I have other friends with some of those. So I could definitely get into it.
Well,
maybe.
They get stolen like the canes.
Yes, yeah,
that's what I'm worried about. Clearly, this guy is collecting things that would help me have less back pain. So
when you met,
Ryan's asking what's riding the subway like. He wants to know.
It's brutal. It's this is a subway car. The middle, tall enough for me. The sides, not tall enough for me. And sometimes people don't realize that the middle is taller because everyone's like, oh, the ceilings are tall enough for us to stand under.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
If I'm on the wrong side of the subway, I'm sitting like
tilted.
Just like full horizontal up against the ceiling. And then I just have to push my way through to the middle. But yeah, I think honestly getting on the subway is worse. I caught some pigeon spikes to the forehead the other day.
Oh.
That was brutal. That was pretty brutal. Yeah. Damn. Just so you know, anything that fucks with the birds also fucks with me. on the ceiling of the subway. I'm thinking about starting a new TikTok series called "Dangerous Things That I Could Hit My Head On," and just like in the subway, because there's like these like giant rusty, like sharp, like what do you call them, like valves sticking out of the ceiling that I could hit my head on. Like I could get tetanus any day, and if I like drink and like am too excited to get on my train. Like the one time I've hit my head really bad in the subway, luckily it was on a sign. I was like running to catch a train, and a guy from behind me, he's like, "Hey, watch your head!" And I look back to look at him, and I smack my head against the subway sign, and like almost knock myself out cold.
Oh God!
But I managed to avoid it, except for that one pigeon spikes in the sign. So,
it's not great. Do you think you can sue the world? Is somebody in charge of the world?
You know, it sucks because it's hard to like garner pity. It's like, oh, I'm too big and tall. Right. Like,
people are getting leg surgery, and you're trying to, you know, get some feelings over here.
Exactly. It's like I'm insecure because everyone's looking at me and talking about me all the time. I'm too much of a main character in my own story.
It's funny if I'm in a bar and I just sit next to women and go, "Hi, I know you were talking about me. Oh, my life."
Yeah. It's crazy how random straight men who've never seen me before come up and buy me drinks because I'm tall. Oh no.
You know, men have a really big thing about height. It's so interesting. And I don't notice it because I think I'm not in that world. But man,
men talk to me like I'm their dad. It's crazy. Like,
you guys all engage with people depending on their height. If they're shorter than you and you like, you automatically think this is what I'm looking at. You automatically think you can destroy them and you talk to them differently. When they're taller than you, you give them more respect because they might crush you. But meanwhile, you could have no muscle, never worked out, never been in a fight, but it.
He's counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that's me.
But you're still the tough guy because you're taller. You've never been in a fight, right? And if you get into a fight, you're dead, right?
Yeah, I'm not dead necessarily, but yeah, I've been on like the peripheral fights where like a guy will be getting too whatever, and I'll like put my arm around him and be like, "Hey, buddy, it's time to go," and like walk him out. And just the like sheer fact that I can like be on top of them like that makes them not fuck with me usually, which is crazy because I cannot back it up at all. Like I can like put my hand on your head while you try to run at me. That's kind of my go-to. But
has your girlfriend ever suggested offensive role play? Fee, fi, fo, fum. Like she ever tried to bring something new to bed? And it's like, hey, easy.
No, dude, I think she's all good with the me playing the clumsy version of myself that I normally play.
Okay.
A lot of stomping around. I clomp just naturally. So I don't think she needs me to put on any sort of voice.
Do you have
a bed? A bed has to be so much more expensive for you.
Because I had a California King for years, and that was what a golden era. Living in Atlanta on my own in a basement in a big ass California King bed with like the little tilty part on the back, like the hospital bed deal.
Does that still fit? Is that big enough?
I moved to New York. Now I'm back in a queen size bed.
Oh, a queen size. Oh my God.
Queen size bed. Well, because our room is the size of a king size bed. So if we want to have anywhere to walk, we have to have a queen size.
Does that mean your feet are on the wall?
They're on the floor. They're hanging off the end. They're just poking out. I also just bend my knees or like, I'll like curve them around my girlfriend. You know, it's like Tetris, you know, you kind of just fit it where you can.
Do you have a proportional size penis?
That's a question I get asked a lot. I mean, I feel like it's, yeah, sure. It's
okay.
It's whatever you think it is, you know?
It's whatever you think it is. Okay. All right.
Okay. Welcome to the show. I'm so sorry.
You're good.
How do we see the documentary you're working on?
That's a good question. So first I gotta finish it. It's been a whole process with COVID just because like everyone's life has changed dramatically. Yeah,
I'm sorry, by the way, when you show up to meet the real Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And but he didn't you didn't say it's a Marfan angle, or he didn't tell you and thought it'd be funny?
His manager set up the interview. And like, cause his manager was friends with, I worked with the guy who was like Kermit the Frog for 3 years on like a live, puppet show that we did together. Okay. So he was friends with the guy who was Chewbacca and had had it set up through his management, just thinking that I was like a guy who wanted to interview him about something. And then I get into the interview room and like ask my first question. That's when he figures out that it's Marfan related. So it's just like, fuck. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry to waste your time.
It's funny you just left. Like you didn't even pretend like, yeah, that's what people were asking. The Ewoks, were they cool to work with?
Yeah. No, I just was like, sorry to waste your time. And then,
but you're so young.
I was 17 at the time. Yeah. So that's
the fact that you have, you know, like, and this at 18, you were already running, huge productions on all of these. It's just at 23 years old. People are still idiots. We've had people work for us who are older where I'm like, so you picked up nothing in life.
Yeah. That's you. I got sent through the ringer for sure. I mean, like going through the major surgeries, having the people treating you older your whole life, it kind of trains you to act older. So I've just been able to be the responsible one in the group.
If you forever. Came to me, I'm the real Chewbacca and you were 17 and then you go, hi, I flew here. I want to talk about Marfans. I'd say I had it. And I tell you all about it. I think it's rude of him, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Just have it. Who gives a fuck?
Who
gives a shit? Go, I wish there was more funding for it. Who cares?
I didn't convey the extent to which I went to get there, I think. He just saw me as like some kid who wanted to interview him at the Comic-Con, who just gave up after the first question.
Right. You can ask him questions, but it's $20 a question, and you have to put it in a box next to him, and he doesn't look at it. Like, oh, just tip here, whatever's on this screen.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, look at this. So, what's the lesson here, Hemda? I think it's nobody has a right to complain. That whole interview was done with a smile on his face.
There you go. We're all here. We're all good.
We're all here. We're all good people. What's your problem, right? Tell the audience. Go ahead. What's your fucking problem?
What's your fucking problem? Yeah. You don't gotta get your chest cut open and get Marilyn Manson. You're good.
And the Star Wars community isn't laughing at you.
Yeah, right? And your tooth will be fine. You know?
Yeah, she's got a tooth taken out.
Yeah. Oh. Talk to me when it's your whole chest.
Yeah, right? They didn't take the chest and that was it either. They did more shit. Yeah. That was going on.
I have a frozen diaphragm. Does that help?
No one's sure what that means.
I do know what that means, kind of, right? It's like an organ that's like stuck and doesn't work. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I have a friend with a frozen other things, like GI system.
I just don't know how I'm still breathing if my diaphragm, and I'm like, do we have two? And one doctor goes, yeah, you have more than one. I'm like, I never followed up with that. Are you just saying that?
Well, can't you just buy them at CVS, buy another diaphragm? Or?
I'm on the pill now, thank you.
There you go. There you go.
You want to follow what's doing, of course, with Liam. And what's the best way to do that, Liam? Please tell people.
Instagram, Facebook, Instagram at Liam J. Nelson, Facebook, Liam Nelson Comedy. I'm touring all over the country, so come see a show. I'm going to be all over like Missouri and stuff here soon, but I'm doing shows in the city all the time, so come check it out.
I got to say, I found you on Comedians You Should Know. What a great, great show. Everyone was great. You were fantastic. You really are a comedian. People should know. If he's taking the time to come out to your city, come out, you'll have a laugh.
If he's taking the time, he took a car. He took a train. He took a subway. Whenever you walk into the venue, look around and go, he has to walk in here too.
Yeah. I ducked under six doorways just to walk in today.
Yeah. He showed up. He gave a fuck. He could die at any time. Say it. Tell them, Liam.
Come on, guys. It's my make-a-wish that you come out to see your show. Please.
Liam, very nice meeting you. Thank you so much for your time.
Same here.
KeithMcGraw.com/VIP. It's every show we've ever done. It's tickets to our upcoming game show on Monday, or you can get tickets and pay too much at KeithMcGraw.com/tickets. However you want to play it, it's up to you. All right. Have a great weekend. Hemda, good luck.
I'm okay. Nothing's wrong.
Good.
I have nothing to complain about. I'm not worried about anything. You know, my PSA is take the drugs that are meant for you. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And shout out to Liam. Like, that's it.
This is why I had Liam on. This worked out. Thank you, Liam. KeithAndTheGirl.com.